Want to hear all about our recent trip to Singapore and Kuala Lumpur? Our adventures in Asia were made possible by Points and Miles, and we can't wait to share how we made it happen. Listen in to hear how we got there, where we stayed, and some of our favorite things we did. Welcome to Points Talk with the Travel Mom Squad. We are three moms who've discovered how to leverage credit card welcome offers to get hundreds of thousands of dollars of travel expenses for nearly free. We've used credit card points and miles to take vacations to places like Hawaii, Paris, Greece, Maldives, Japan, and so much more. And the best part? We each still have 800 plus credit scores. Imagine being able to take the vacation of your dreams for nearly free. It's totally possible, and we're here to show you how. Hey, I'm Alex.
And I'm Pam, Alex's mom.
And I'm Jess. Let's talk points. We just returned from a week-long trip to Singapore and Kuala Lumpur. We had a blast, and thanks to a Singapore Airlines global redemption sale, we got one heck of a deal. So, Pam, why don't you share more about the flights and what you thought of premium economy? I know that you and Alex were both very skeptical of premium economy, very nervous, I feel like, going into these flights. So give us the details on how we booked it and what you thought of it.
Okay. So first of all, the flight was leaving out of San Francisco. And so we all live in three different states. So we all had to position to San Francisco the afternoon of the flight. Now, whenever we position to another airport, we always give ourselves plenty of time. I think we had about 6 hours, at least Jess and I did. I think we got there about an hour before Alex. So we had about 6 hours to spend in San Francisco, but that's kind of what you got to do if you're going to position. I think nothing would be worse than to get to that airport that your award flight is going to begin at too late.
And San Francisco has a Centurion Lounge, a very nice Centurion Lounge, I might add. And so Pam and I had no problem killing that 6 hours. We were just living our best lives in the Centurion Lounge. And so, yeah, I totally agree that it was worth it just for peace of mind to get to leave yourself plenty of time. And, you know, both for all three of us, everything worked out. I think Alex and I were both maybe 30 minutes delayed, but nothing huge. We had plenty of time, but I'd rather have plenty of time to kill at the lounge versus scrambling or being anxious about potentially missing a flight.
Jess, do you want to share, like, because you can't get into the Centurion Lounge 6 hours early. So people might be wondering, well, is it usually 3 hours?
It is usually 3 hours.
There might be like, how the heck they'd get in there? So why don't you tell them about the little trick that you did, and then we all did it, but Jess got there first. So she takes credit for this trick.
Yeah. I have a little trick up my sleeve that I use. We're only sharing this. This is a podcast exclusive trick. So basically what I do is, and I taught Pam my little trick this time. So what I did was I booked a Southwest flight. And so with Southwest, you can cancel your flight and get your points back up to 10 minutes before the flight departs. And so we booked, I don't remember. I think I booked a flight to Phoenix. It doesn't really matter where you book a flight to. So I booked a flight from San Francisco to Phoenix that was leaving within a couple of hours of when I booked it. And then as soon as I used that boarding pass to get into the Centurion Lounge. And then as soon as I got into the lounge, I just canceled that flight and got all my points back. You just have to remember to cancel the flight, because you don't want to book a flight, forget to cancel it, and then your points go to waste.
Yeah, that can be the only part that's risky. Also, there have been times when I've worried about the weather because I live in Denver and we can get snow even in March. And so I am really careful about watching the weather, the days coming up to a flight that I'm positioning to. And sometimes I will do a backup Southwest flight just in case I have trouble with a United flight. And then again, I've got to, I'll have it flying out an hour or two after my United flight. And then I have to remember to cancel it, because otherwise I'm, you know, wasting points or cash on that flight. So those are a couple little tricks. So anyway, we went from Singapore, on Singapore Airlines from San Francisco to Singapore. Jess had found a global redemption sale where it was 25% off economy and premium economy bookings. And she suggested one day, why don't we go to Singapore? I wanted to go to Singapore, always have wanted to go. And my husband and I were supposed to go, and we went to the Maldives, and I canceled that part of our trip when Jess brought up this idea.
So actually, Alex is the one who found the sale, but she sent it to me as a way to nudge me to post about it in stories. And not only did I post about it in stories, so just FYI, if you didn't take advantage of the sale, you should turn your alerts on for our stories, because that's where we share all these good deals. But I also took it a step further and said, oh, I want to book this. So I'm going to send it to you and Pam and see if we can make it work. But yeah, it was a really good deal that we couldn't pass up. I've always wanted to go to Singapore. And so just had to take advantage of it.
Well, my husband and I had gone there, a few months earlier on our way to the Maldives. And I knew it was a long flight. It is a 17 and a half hour flight. That's long to be in an airplane. And when he and I had done it, we had done it in business class. And it was long even in business class. And so we had decided, Alex and Jess were talking about doing this trip. And they, you know, Alex was on board and I let FOMO get in the way. And I thought, okay, yeah, I want to go too. We only used 56,250 miles and $5.60 to book it in premium economy. But here's the thing. When I was on my flight, my business class flight, I walked back there because let's go check out what, you know, economy and premium economy look like, you know, and I'm already tired from this 17-hour flight. And I walked back there, I opened up the curtain and I looked back there and I saw the hordes of people sitting there. And it's basically 2, 4, and 2. So, you know, the 2s look fine, but I'm seeing the 4s and I'm going, heck no, I can't do this. What was I thinking? So I get home and I start looking to see if I can get a business class flight. And there aren't any with points, but I was able to do a waitlisted flight. Now, on a waitlisted flight, you have to have the points there. So I did move some points so I would have them. And it's waitlisted, and they will let you know every week whether you're still on the waitlist. That means if they open up another redemption flight, and if it's your turn to be put on that, you might get the business class flight. And I was every week, please, 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 you know, get me off that waitlist. If that waitlist is not doesn't come through 2 weeks by 2 weeks before your flight, they just tell you, sorry, it's no go. It didn't work. You're not even on the wait list anymore. And so I got to 2 weeks and they told me I was not going to get that business class seat. And I was nervous. I mean, I really was like, can I do this? Can I do this? You know, I have bad knees. It's hard for me to sleep on an airplane now. So the good thing is when we booked these, Alex and Jess had booked the bulkhead seats. And so they were 2 on the left-hand side. And then down at the very back of that side and on the other side where of the 2 seats, there are what are called throne seats. And that's just 3 single seats. Actually, I thought, maybe I can do that. And so, you know, not having anybody by me, being able to spread out a little bit more because I don't have, you know, knees next to me and other people's stuff. I thought, okay, possibly.
Wait, hold on. First we got on board, and usually we're used to when you get on a business class flight, you turn left oftentimes to go towards business class. Well, they had us turn right, obviously, because we weren't going to business class. And my mom goes, oh, this isn't bad. This is a lot better than I thought. And I said, Mom, this is business class. So they had business class if you turned left. Well, no.
Yeah, both.
If left and right, yeah. So the unique thing about this plane is there is no economy. It's just business class and premium economy. And so she was thinking, oh, we turned right. This must be a business class. And then I said, oh, this is business. This though she thought it was premium economy. And I was like, Mom, this is business class. So she got her hopes up for a second.
And I want to add, too, that normally premium economy would be 75,000 miles, but we got it. We booked during that 25% off sale. And so that's why it was $56,250, $5.60 in taxes. And then Alex and I paid $113 for those bulkhead seats, and Pam paid $133 for her throne seat. So a little bit more tacked on to our total, but in my opinion, totally worth it to select those seats with more room.
Yeah, I got to my seat, and not only was it this nice throne seat, but to the left of it was this huge cabinet. I loved this cabinet. It opened up. I could put my backpack, all my stuff. I didn't have to get up and down to get stuff out of the overhead bins. When I would curl up to sleep, I could put my legs on it. And I actually got sleep. And honestly, this is a shocker, but I would do it again. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm turning into a premium economy person on Singapore, but I would definitely do it one way. Once we booked it, I did book business coming back. So I knew I didn't have to do this both ways. I booked business coming back, but it wasn't bad. I would say the food wasn't as good. The service, you know, was still really good. Just keyed me in onto where they had snacks in the back galley, and I could get some Doritos and some Kit Kats, and that made my life happy. And it was just way, way better. I slept for like 7 hours, and I was pleasantly surprised. I 100% would suggest, if you're going to go on Singapore, to try to get that bulkhead or those throne seats. Like I said, there's three on each side, so you want to book early. But yeah, Pam would do it again, and that's kind of a shocker.
Yeah, they also have really good entertainment screens. Like, they're pretty big, lots of good movies to choose from. And when we landed, because like Jess said at the beginning, I was nervous. And I was nervous because even sitting just on a normal plane on a short flight hurts my back. Like, I don't have a great back. My hips get out of alignment and stuff. And so I was really stressed to sit there for 17 and a half hours. I was thinking, I'm going to get up and my hips are going to be all jacked and I'm going to be miserable on this trip. Or I'm going to need to find a chiropractor in Singapore. The seat was very comfortable. There's a little footrest. You can recline a lot more. So it's like you're sitting in a recliner. And having that, we had tons of space in front of us with the bulkhead seats. And so we could really stretch out. I will say melatonin and Dramamine helped me be able to sleep for sure. So I would recommend that if you struggle, because I struggle sleeping on planes. But yeah, when we landed in Singapore, I was pleasantly surprised. And it just kind of felt like, I can do this. Like, I don't need to spend all these points all the time. If I want to save some more points, especially with traveling with my family, that's way too many points for all six of us to fly business class. But I was like, I could do this. Granted, Singapore premium economy is not the same thing as like United premium economy. That's just, you know, a little more space. This is, you know, you get the footrest, you get the more reclining space. But I would totally do it again, too. I thought it was great. And I've talked before about going to the Maldives, and we flew business class, and I was always like, I could only fly business class to the Maldives. It's so far. But once you get to Singapore, it's like another 4 or 5 hour flight. But if I could do it in premium economy now. And so that to me was like kind of like a weight off my shoulders, in a sense that I can travel for less points now and make my points stretch a little bit further. So thank you, Jess, for making us do it.
I had no doubts about either of your ability to do it. I wasn't nervous at all. And I even told Alex, I was like, Alex, you've given birth to 4 boys. Like, you can fly in premium economy.
Well, you know what had happened? What really scared me is when we went over to the Maldives this last time, we'd done that business class. And then we flew economy from Singapore to Malay. And that was not good. That was an older plane. The seats were not comfortable. They were, you know, they were fabric. They weren't the leather. It was not very good. And so once I'd done that, then I was so freaked out that that's what my flight was going to be like in this premium economy. And it wasn't at all. Completely different than my experience had been from that economy. And so those of you that want to take your families or you want to save on points, you can do it because you're hearing it from the girl who usually only flies business class. I survived and I'd do it again. So we continued on after we got through Singapore, and we'll talk more about that trip in a little bit. We're just talking about flights right now. We continued on to Kuala Lumpur after Singapore, and we went on Singapore Airlines again. Now, that's only an hour-long flight. That was not worth spending the extra miles to fly in business class, in our opinion. And so we were on economy. We also got 25% off those flights, too. So round trip, that was 12,750 miles and $55 in taxes and fees. And it was fine. We were three in a row. We probably, I think, you know, some of the flight coming home didn't look like it was very busy. We could have stretched out. It was perfectly fine. I have to say that when we walked through business class, though, to get to our economy, I go, why didn't we spend more? You know, that's coming
The sale wasn't on business.
That's right.
So we wanted to take advantage of the sale.
Exactly. We did want to take advantage, but, you know, but it was fine. And then flying back, we flew Singapore Airlines, Singapore to San Francisco. And like I said, I had booked business class from the start. Now we're talking about going over. I only spent 256,250 points for premium economy. I spent a whopping 143,000 miles to get back. And for most people, that's just a lot. And, you know, since I do a lot of traveling by myself, I don't have to book for a family. My husband doesn't like to travel as much as me, so I can use a lot of our points. And I open up a lot of cards and have a lot of points. It's something that works for me, but I, you know, that's really a lot to spend for business class. So anyway.
And there was the only one seat. So Jess and I had booked premium economy coming home.
Right, right. So anyway, that's how we got there. Right. That's how we survived.
Yep. So then coming home, as I said, Jess and I had initially paid the 56,250 miles plus $60 in taxes to fly home on premium economy. And at the airport, you can go on the app and check for upgrades, and there wasn't any available for us. But when we were at the airport, we were literally walking to go check in for our flight and get our boarding passes. I thought, let's just look and see if there's any seats available. And so we went into the Singapore app like we were buying business class seats. I put in two people and there was availability. So we get to the front and Jess asked the girl that's checking us in. She's like, is there any business class flights available that we could upgrade to? And she's like, oh yeah, there are. And she's like, do you want to know how much they are? And we said, yeah. And she's like, it's $1,800. And me and Jess were like, ugh. And then she said, Singapore dollars. And we said, because Singapore dollars, like our US dollars go a little bit further. So it was just under $1,400 to upgrade. The cash price, though, was over $9,000. So the huge, huge savings. And it was a 14 and a half hour flight. So it is kind of interesting because going there is 17 and a half hours. Coming home is 14 and a half hours. I guess those tailwinds must really, really get you in a lot faster. But for a 14 and a half hour flight, we went back and forth. We were like, oh, should we do this? Should we not? And then we're like, you know what? We never pay for flights, hardly ever. You know, we can splurge with using all these points for the amount of nearly free travel we get, spending, you know, just under $1,400 on a 14 and a half hour flight. I mean, and my mom was over there being like, just do it, girls. You can do it. So we pulled the trigger. We did it. And the other thing that was cool is we had paid for the throne seats on the way home, Jess and I had. And so that was $133. And so on the flight, Jess was chatting with Singapore Airlines and asked to get that $133 refunded. they were like, oh, we can't refund, you know, seat prep purchases, but we'll make an exception. And so we both were able to get that refunded.
A little calculation I like to do in my head is I am personally willing to spend $100 an hour to upgrade. And this is just for long haul flights. Like, I don't upgrade to first class on domestic flights. But for a long haul flight like this, I'm thinking, okay, for me personally, it's worth $100 an hour or less to upgrade to business class. And so when we got to the counter and the woman was pulling up the price, I was asking Alex, okay, what amount are you okay? Are you okay with? You know, what it, and I was like, I'm fine with $14.50. Because in my head, I'm like, it's a 14 and a half hour flight. If I'm doing $100 an hour, that's $1,450. And Alex is like, oh, I don't know, like maybe $1,000. And then she comes back with, you know, the 1,800 Singapore dollars, which was around 1,400. Plus we got the 133 back. So we ended up spending around $1,250 for this upgrade. And I was like, sold, done, totally worth it for this flight for us to be in business class.
But what you guys are leaving out is when you initially went up there, you came back with your tickets and told me about it. And I said, you guys are nuts.
We came back with our tickets for premium economy. We didn't do it at first.
Premium economy. And asked me what I would have done. I says, do you even need to ask what I would have done? Because honestly, what you paid was the price of an economy ticket in a, you know, flying over there. So that's what an economy ticket would have cost. And so I'm like,
a cheap economy ticket, yes, probably.
And we have been on this trip staying in hotels, luxury hotels. We've hardly spent any money on this trip because we're eating our breakfasts at the hotels. And we're just nuts. We did spend money on hotels. And so I'm like, come on, just do it. You can do it.
We actually ended up getting a better deal than Pam if you consider how many miles she used. Now, granted, ours was a gamble. There is no guarantee that there will be space to upgrade. So she locked hers in. She knew I'm 100% getting business class. But we paid 56,000 miles and around $1,250. She paid 143,000 miles. So she paid almost 100,000 more miles than we did. And I valued those miles at much more than $1,250. So we did get the better deal, but it was a gamble for sure. It's a gamble that paid off.
We checked on the way there and they didn't have any seats available too. And so that wasn't even an option. But yeah, the reason why we didn't buy them the first time is the girl had said, there's a seat in the front and a seat in the back. So we thought we'd be sitting by a stranger, which wasn't really matter in business class, but they'd be in the middle sections and one of us would be in the front and one of us would be in the back. So we are thinking we're going to be spread all out around this plane. On the other way, we can sit by each other. We can take some videos. We'll be able to hang out. And then we looked up the seats map just to double check. And they were actually just one right in front of the other. And then so we're like, oh, we'd be really close to each other. And then the lady on the plane that was sitting by me, she saw me talking to Jess and she said, hey, to Jess, do you want to switch seats so you can sit by your friend? We're like, oh, thanks. That would be great. So it worked out really great because Jess and I were able to sit by each other. We were able to take some videos and it was a great flight. I really like the business class. I mean, they do have it, like your seat is at an angle, which can get a little annoying, but the seat itself is super wide. And they actually, a lot of times you just press a button and your seat goes flat. This, they actually come over and they take your backrest and fold it down. So it becomes an actual bed and it's really wide. And there's not like those divots and like cracks from the seat lines that you normally have. And so I thought it was really comfortable. I really liked it.
All right. So let's move on to our hotels now. So in Singapore, we stayed at a Hyatt. Okay, shocker, spoiler, we're going to stay at all Hyatts. So we stayed at the Andaz Singapore. The Andaz is a Category 6 Hyatt hotel, which means that standard award nights are going to run you 25,000 Hyatt points a night. Pam was so kind to redeem one of her suite upgrade awards for us for this stay. So we got an amazing suite that I think was like 900 or 1,000 square feet. It was very big, amazing views. The really nice thing about this property, I was actually in shock that they did this. So we left on Friday night and we landed at 6 a.m. We landed at like 5 a.m. on Sunday. So we time traveled. We totally just skipped over Saturday completely. So we get there, we land at 5 a.m. By the time we get our bags, take the taxi to the Andaz, it's 6 a.m. And I'm thinking, there is no way we're going to be able to check in. We're just going to have to leave our bags. I don't know what we're going to do at 6 a.m. and sing. It's like still dark outside. We have no idea like where, none of us have been to Singapore before, you know? And so I'm just imagining us going to like find a couch in the lobby and try and take a nap or something. But we checked in and they had a relaxation room available for us, complete with a rollaway in it. And so
relaxation room was pretty, was just a room. It's like,
I assume the room that we got as the relaxation room is just a standard, what a standard room would be if you booked points. And it was really nice. Like, I would not hesitate to stay in a standard room. The suite was nicer because there's three of us, you know, the three adults sharing one standard room can get a little bit cramped. But if it was like me and Ted and Molly, I would totally stay in the standard room. No issue at all. So it was amazing being able to have a place to leave our bags. We took showers, we took a nap, you know, and just having that space was amazing and not something that I was expecting. They also allowed us to have our globalist breakfast that morning. So as we were checking in, I said, is there any way that we could, he was explaining the benefits and he said, you get globalist breakfast at the restaurant starting tomorrow. And I said, is there any way that we could have it today also? Because we are really hungry and we're tired and that would just be so appreciated. And he said, well, let me check with my manager and I'll call the room. And so sure enough, like 10 minutes later, he calls the room and says that we can have our free breakfast. And we are like cheering at this point. We are, because we're so hungry and we just wanted to like go have our buffet. And so we were really impressed with the entire check-in process and the staff and the service at the Andaz.
I think one of the things that this goes to show is to ask. You know, the only thing that someone can say is no. Prior to getting there, I had sent an email to them and said that we were coming. We were going to be getting in really early. If there's any way we could get into our room once we got there, that would be awesome. We'd really appreciate it. So I think that that helped us have that room ready. And then just asking if we could have breakfast. And then they said yes. So I think take home message, you know, let someone know that you're coming in early. Ask for things. They may say no, but sometimes you're pleasantly surprised. And it certainly worked out in our favor this time.
So the Andaz in general is a beautiful hotel. It is floors. It was on like the
started
top
on the 25th. Was it the 25th floor? The lobby was
25th. Yeah, the lobby was on the 25th floor, and I think it went up into like the 30s. And so it was some of the top floors of the building it's in, which means that it has incredible views. There is a rooftop pool that we went to that first day when we were just trying to force ourselves to stay awake, and we were like, we need to get out in the sun, reset our circadian rhythm and all that stuff. And so after breakfast, we took a little nap and then we got our swimsuits on and went out to the pool. Beautiful views at the pool. I will say it's kind of a smaller pool. There, we had a little bit of trouble at first finding seats at the pool. That's the only, I mean, I don't know where they would add seating just because of the way that it's laid out. But we did eventually end up finding three loungers next to each other. So we snagged those and we had lunch there. It's really, they have the QR codes that you could just scan and order food directly to be delivered to the pool. So we did that. They also have a little kids pool to the side. It's just a circular pool that's very shallow. And
kind
so
it looks like a hot tub, but like 2 feet deep,
but not hot.
But not hot.
So, but I thought it was, you know, it was nice to have that option for younger kids to have that little separate space. I thought the breakfast buffet was really good. They had pretty much everything you could want. They had an egg station, so you could order omelets or over easy or eggs Benedict, anything like that. So I always like that option. And then every other thing you can think of, tons of pastries, yogurts, fruits, every option. And so I never went hungry at breakfast. They also, as is common with the Andaz brand. They have a mini bar in the room. And so the non-alcoholic drinks and the snacks are included in your stay. So Pam did her little thing where she would hide the Diet Cokes in the safe so that they would leave us more the next day. So
Pam's sounding kind of weird right now.
No, I'm all for it, Pam. You are efficient. You are, you know, getting our money's worth, getting our points worth at the Andaz. So I was enabling her. I was like, Pam, hide the drinks so they leave us more.
I didn't like the snacks that much. So there was no hiding of snacks this time.
Yeah. But so that we probably could have just asked for all Diet Cokes in our mini fridge, but instead we went the sneaky way about it. We were all really impressed with the setup in the lobby area. They had like a coffee and latte machine, as well as iced tea, lemonade, juice, and water, and then a bunch of complimentary snacks throughout the day. Like they had whole fruit, some cookies, some chips, and that's open to anyone. So you don't need any sort of Hyatt status to take advantage of those. And I thought it was really nice just like coming in from being out for the day or coming in from the pool and being able to grab a latte or a lemonade or some cookies. Pam and Alex particularly liked the coconut cookies that they had. So, you know, just having that option to grab a cold beverage and a snack during the day was really nice, I thought.
It was. I was really impressed. It was set up really, you know, such a nice setup. It was really cute. There was just tons of stuff. They would rotate some things. I thought that was such a nice touch.
The hotel itself is just really cute. It's got a really, I don't know what the decor vibe is because I'm not really fancy with my decor knowledge or anything, but I really liked it. So if you go there, it just felt like it was my style. It's more, I don't know if like earthy would be the right word.
Yeah, I'd say like earthy, a little more modern. I think it's a newer property. Yeah. And so it was super clean. I mean, Singapore in general is very clean, but the hotel was really clean.
Definitely like my style and loved it. I would highly recommend if anybody's going to Singapore. I like the location's great. I would totally, totally stay there again.
100% agree with that.
Agree. As far as things to do in Singapore, Singapore is a beautiful city. There is so much to do outside and like the architecture is amazing. So Gardens by the Bay was one of our favorite things we did. We actually visited it 3 times because the first time we had a professional photo shoot with a photographer from Flytographer. We wanted to get some updated photos of us for our podcast and the blog and Instagram. And so the nice thing about Gardens by the Bay is there's a whole, like the grounds are free. So like we just had photos taken there amongst, they're called the super trees. If you saw a photo of them, I'm sure you would recognize them. And that was, we did not have to buy tickets to be able to access the grounds. And so if you just want to go walk around and look at the pretty views and the super trees, then you can do that for totally free.
And you can do it before it opens. Like,
yes,
that stuff is just available to walk through whenever.
And it was really nice because I think they open at 9, but we had our photo session from 7:30 to 8:30. And so we were there before the crowds, before it got really hot. And so it was nice to be able to do that when it was not crowded. It'd be a great place to take kids to just run around. Like if you need to let them let their energy out, it'd be a great place for that.
And I would recommend if you're going, because to me, I don't know what you guys thought, but like we did go back and we paid to go into some of the paid areas. But I personally like just walking around the free stuff the most. And so I would highly recommend if you're going, go early. Walk around the grounds, get some pictures, and then right when it opens, then go do the paid stuff if you'd like to do that. Like there's the flower dome and the cloud. Is that both called domes? Flower dome?
Cloud forest.
Dome? Cloud forest, yeah.
I thought the cloud forest was really cool.
It is really cool.
But yes, my favorite views and my favorite things were the outside free areas. That night we went back. So at 7:45 and 8:45 p.m., every night they have a free light show among the super trees. Again, this is in the outdoor grounds that are free. And so you don't need a ticket to Gardens by the Bay to attend this light show. And I thought it was really cool. It only lasts about 15 minutes, but our photographer that morning recommended it. He told us, go to the Super Tree Observatory area. That's the best view. So we went there. We saw the light show. I thought it was really cool. And like I said, it's free. So
one thing about that light show is that the program changes monthly. They really should have Taylor Swift their songs. That would be really cool. I didn't see that on any of the agenda. Ours was all about opera. And so there's were some famous opera pieces and they were really pretty. There was one month where they did Broadway shows. I would have loved that one where they did some Les Mis and Phantom of the Opera songs. But it really is. It's a great show. And I do love the fact that they change it monthly. So if you're there, you know, multiple times, you can see, you know, it's a different show every time. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. And like Jess said, we went three times, but getting around Singapore's really easy. We did, it's called Grab, which is their version of Uber. And it's not very expensive. In my opinion, it was a lot cheaper than doing Uber here. So, you know, it wasn't a big deal for us to go. And it took us maybe 10 minutes to get to Gardens by the Bay from our hotel. I don't even know if it was that long. It wasn't very far.
Wasn't it just like $12 to?
It was $12. Yeah. The thing is, when you're riding with multiple people, some like the Grab is so cheap that sometimes it's cheaper to do that than to buy three separate train, you know, sub public transportation tickets on the bus or whatever. And so it's just really convenient. And the app is easy to use and everywhere. And you can use your credit card. So
yeah. And most of their taxis, we did take taxis a couple times, and they take, most of them take credit cards too. So it makes it really easy.
So later on that day, the same day, so we had our photo shoot in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I had scheduled a Singapore highlights tour with a tour guide named Jane, who we all ended up loving. She was hilarious. I found her via recommendation in a Facebook group that I'm in. So I prefer to get like personal recommendations versus going through something like Viator, just because you never really know what you're going to get. So I saw a recommendation for Jane in a Facebook group. Her website is thewittyguide.com. I will link it in the show notes if you
which
also
makes
want to book.
Sense,
it's she, the yes, perfect, which makes sense. It's the perfect name for her.
She is very witty. She's like a stand-up comedian. She is, seriously, her expressions and what she says, I was dying.
Yeah. So we had a really good time with her. We booked a 4-hour tour with her Singapore highlights tour. It included transportation. So she picked us up and dropped us off from the Andaz. And then we visited the three main cultural areas in Singapore, which were Chinatown, Little India, and Kampong Glam. So she took us all around, told us about the areas, shared stories. We saw like an ice cream, a little ice cream cart. She recommended that we get ice cream sandwiches there. We went to a food court. She recommended what we should try there. I tried this really delicious, almost like spring roll thing. And Pam was very hesitant, but I convinced her to try it. And she loved it.
I'm so surprised. I now know. Jess kind of knows my taste a little bit. She knows I'm a little picky. But if she tells me, you'll like this, Pam, I trust her now because it was really good.
So it's just nice having a tour with a local who knows all the places, knows what to recommend. She's a really good photographer. She took some great photos of us. And so I would not hesitate to recommend her. I already have a friend I know who is booking a tour with her. I think Pam's daughter.
Yes, she is.
Her daughter and her son-in-law are going to Singapore soon, and they are going to book a tour with her. So highly recommend her. We'll link her in the show notes. It ended up being, so we paid her in Singapore dollars, but if converting it, it was around $90 an hour US. And so we did a 4-hour tour. So that was around $360 to me. And we split it three ways. To me, totally worth it for her guidance and her humor and the fact that she included transportation and picked us up to and from the Andaz. I thought it was totally worth it.
And it's so nice to go with just the three of us in our tour guide versus, you know, one of those huge vans we are going with like 40 other people. And those can be, you know, kind of expensive. And so I feel like just paying a little bit more for the private experience is so, so, so worth it.
Well, and it was nice too, because they had an air-conditioned van. Now, we're doing a lot of walking on the streets, but in between going from neighborhood to neighborhood, we'd get in this air-conditioned van. Singapore was blazing when we were there. It was hot. I was so glad when we'd get in that van and could cool off. Also, just a little suggestion. These guys were laughing at me. I had bought this little fan on Amazon. And, you know, there's a lot of little fans you can get. Now, this wasn't a cheap fan. This one cost me about $130.
I linked it in our Amazon store. And I can put a link in the show notes to our Amazon store. But I was like, Mom, I'm not putting this in the store. This is so overpriced. And she's like, no, I've bought the cheap ones. They don't work. This one works.
This one.
So take it from Pam.
This one saved me. And the proof of it is that on that tour, I was still hot. But we do a tour later on, as you'll hear, in Kuala Lumpur. And I'd forgotten to charge it. It doesn't run on batteries. You charge it. I really died that day. I thought I was going to have heat stroke. So I vouch that this will save your day if you're going somewhere hot. So anyway, just a little ad there for Amazon's great fan.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So next up, next door to the Andaz was an amazing building. Like I said, the architecture in Singapore is really unique and spectacular. And so there was this really cool building next door. We all agreed it looked like it was straight out of Gotham City. And there is a bar on the first level of that building called Atlas. I had heard about this bar because it is in the top 50 bars in Asia. Now, I know what you're thinking. Pam and Alex don't drink. So you probably went to this bar by yourself. But they couldn't resist this really cool building. They were like, no, if you're going to go there, we're going to go with you. They have food there also. And they have an assortment of mocktails. So Pam enjoyed a mocktail. And we all had lunch there. And just sitting in that bar, like it is, I can't even describe it. It is so cool. There's a ton of gold. Just the architecture is stunning. And so especially if you're staying at the Andaz, because it's literally next door, but even if you're not, I think it's worth a visit to see the building, to have lunch there, and to just enjoy the air conditioning and the architecture. It was pretty spectacular. And I think Alex and Pam are happy they went, even though I think that was maybe the first bar they've ever been to.
You know, it was stunning. And we had walked over the whole building from the outside. It looked like it was Gotham City. And we were like, what the heck? What is that building? And then we found out that it was a bar. We walked in there and I was like, I have never been inside anything that looks anything like this. It was spectacular. It was, you know, speakeasy vibes. It was the 20s vibes. It was luxury. It was incredible. I would go over there and just get a Coke or get something to eat. I mean, it is worth a visit. It was definitely a highlight.
And I thought the food was pretty good. Like I was more looking forward to the cocktails and I wasn't expecting much of the food, but I thought the food was really good. So even if you're not a drinker, I recommend grabbing lunch and a mocktail or a Coke there, like Pam said.
Funny story. Alex, Jess gets a lobster roll and then she sees that she can get caviar on it. And so she thought the lobster roll with caviar was $48. And then our bill came and no, her little 2 tablespoons, if that, of caviar was an additional $48. So she enjoyed it, but that was a one day expensive lobster roll.
Yeah, reading the menu closely, I saw 48 and thought that that was the total price when actually it was the price to add on caviar. And so it was a little more expensive than I was planning, but worth it. And I would do it again. And then last up, so I made reservations for dinner for us at Marina Bay Sands. There is a rooftop restaurant there called Spago. We all walked into, Marina Bay Sands is a famous hotel in Singapore. If you saw a picture of it, I'm sure you would recognize it. And we walked into it and immediately felt like we had been transported to Las Vegas. It just gives off that vibe. It's a huge hotel. I don't even know how many rooms are in it. Thousands of rooms in this hotel. The lobby.
I think the movie Crazy Rich Asians made it really popular. And I really wanted to stay there. And it was going to be really expensive for a night. And once we walked in there, I go, oh, thank heavens we're going back to the Andaz.
Yeah, a lot of people will just stay a night there because they have a really, really cool infinity pool on the rooftop that has amazing views of Singapore. But you have to be staying at the hotel to access the pool. I looked into us staying there for one night just to access the pool. And it was going to be, I think, $700 or $800. So I nixed that idea immediately. And I'm very glad we didn't stay there after visiting. We had dinner at a restaurant called Spago, and we all felt it was overpriced. I do think it was a nice place to, the views were nice, the setting was nice, but yeah, the food was a little bit overpriced, and I now have no desire to stay at Marina Bay Sands. If I ever go back, I will stay at the Andaz for free and skip the $800 price tag to access the pool. They also have a water and light show outside Marina Bay Sands. It sort of reminded us of like a Bellagio feel. It was also really cool and it is free. It's at 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. each night. And so we had dinner at 6, walked around Marina Bay Sands, and then watched the 8 p.m. free light show. And I thought it was a really nice way. That was our last night of the trip in Singapore. So I thought it was a nice way to kind of wrap up our time in Singapore. And so, yeah, highly recommend that free water show outside Marina Bay Sands. All right, so now we're going to transport ourselves to Kuala Lumpur, which was our second city we stayed in. So Pam, why don't you tell everyone about where we stayed there?
Well, when we first started planning this trip, we were originally just going to go to Singapore. And I think we'd had like 5 days and we started thinking there. I mean, Singapore is a great city to go to, but you really don't need more than 3 days there, I don't think. And so we started talking about, well, let's go somewhere else, because I don't think either of you had been to Asia before. And I hadn't. I've been to several places in Asia, but not for a while. And Jess suggested Kuala Lumpur. And I go, yeah, that sounds good. Sounds, you know, exotic and wonderful. And so we decided to do that. So, of course, we stayed in a Hyatt. This was the Grand Hyatt Kuala Lumpur. It is a category 3, which is kind of crazy because it's a beautiful hotel. That's a very low rating for this hotel. We only spent 12,000 Hyatt points a night and just redeemed a suite upgrade award for us. It was huge. This suite was bigger than the one that we had in Singapore. I think it was like 1,300 square feet. I mean, that's bigger than my first house. And it was gigantic. It too had amazing views of the city. I love when you've got floor to ceiling windows with amazing views of skyscrapers and at night the lights. And it was just really nice. We did our first day, we got there and we went pretty soon up to doing one of our favorite activities. And if you've listened to us at all, you know that we like to take advantage of a nice spa. And so we went to and had massages, and they were really cheap. When we got there, they gave us vouchers for $100 off our spa.
Not $100 off.
Not $100. What was it?
Well, like 100 Malaysian.
That's what I meant. Yeah, 100 Malaysian dollars.
Yes. Yeah. So it was around 20. It worked out to around 20 US dollars off.
Yeah. And we were going to do these massages anyway, and they were going to cost about $100 each for 90 minutes, which is great. And so instead they cost us about $80 in US dollars. So the massages were amazing. And so that was how we started off. We did go out and check out the pool. They have a really nice pool area, quite large. There looked like there was plenty of seating there. The hotel itself is in a great location. You could walk to some things from it. It had great views. One of the most famous things there are the Twin Towers. I can't remember what they're actually called. Do either of you remember their Petronas,
yeah. Something like that.
Anyway.
It's after a gas station brand there, or like a petroleum brand.
Yeah.
But it's whatever Twin Towers. Like, they're called Twin Towers. If you just search Malaysia Twin Towers or Kuala Lumpur Twin Towers, you'll find them.
This hotel also has a club lounge. And club loungers are really nice. You can go there usually and have breakfast, but we actually had a choice between having breakfast there, which was buffet, or going into the larger breakfast buffet that was held in a restaurant. We chose to do that, but we did go into the club lounge the first night. They had a huge spread of hors d'oeuvres at night and beverages. They had curries, they had shrimp, they had hummus and vegetables and cheese and crackers. I mean, we did, that's how we ate dinner that night. We didn't even, you know, pay for dinner that night. So club lounge is great. One of the things that was really nice in this club lounge is that it had a separate area for families. So families with children could go in there and be a little noisier and not affect everybody else. And that was a really nice thing to have.
And just a quick reminder, to access the club lounge, you either have to have Hyatt Globalist status or book a club lounge room. So just to kind of keep that in mind.
Yeah. So then they had an amazing breakfast buffet. I mean, they had everything. They too had, you know, an egg station. They had every breakfast item from every country. I mean, I would walk down there and go, okay, this is the end of the breakfast buffet. And then there would be another section. It was huge. So that was really good. And we, you know, I would say that the vibe of the Andaz Singapore was a little bit more my vibe, just because this was a little bit, probably more brown woods. It very luxurious. That's not, I like a little more modern feel, but it was pretty gorgeous. And really nice. 100% would stay in it again. It amazes me that it's just a category 3 and that you can stay there for so few points. I mean, 12,000 points a night. That's nothing, you know, to stay at a hotel. So it was yeah. Pretty great.
The service there was really good too. Like the people there were so nice and helpful. So moving on, here's some of the things we did in Kuala Lumpur. We only had one full day there. And so Jess booked us an Airbnb experience. And Jess was like our little trip planner this time. And she did a great job. So our tour was great. We'll put a link in the show notes. I don't know how to remember how to say his full name, but he told us to just call him F. And so we called him F. And he was a local to Kuala Lumpur, knows all the best places. I really, really like these types of tours. We are going with somebody who lives there, like you said, Jess, with Jane too. Like they know the area so well. He told us a lot about the, you know, just like kind of the history and the government there and the different religions there. And so you learn just more about where you're visiting instead of just seeing the sites. Learning some history and some culture was really fun too. So our stops along the tour, which I don't actually remember what the tour was called, but
I think it was like 7 Wonders of Kuala Lumpur with a local.
Yes, that's right. So we went to the Twin Towers, which was really close to our hotel. And that was really cool. Inside, there's different things inside, but a big portion of it is a large mall. And then the back has like a big pond area. It's really pretty. We then walked over this cool bridge that connects the city village to the modern city. Then he drove us around in his car to these different sites, which was great because if we thought that Singapore was hot, Kuala Lumpur was, we were literally melting. It got to the point where it's like, I'm just going to be wet and sweaty the whole day. Like, I'm going to look ridiculous, but this is what it is. I'm just trying to survive. So it was really nice that at least for at times we got to get into his car and have some air conditioning. So we stopped at the Batu Caves, which that was our favorite stop along the way. If you've seen it, it's got this giant gold statue, the colorful stairs. We visited some Hindu temples. It was a really, really cool thing to do. There's monkeys walking around and, you know, eating people's leftover food and wrappers, digging through the trash cans. So that was really cool. Once you get up to the stairs, you get inside of the cave and there's another temple up there. From there, we went to a Buddhist temple, gorgeous, gorgeous temple. Then we went to Chinatown, went to some little shopping areas, and it was really fun. I mean, really hot. That was the only downside, but we loved the tour. And it was only $127. It was about 5 hours, private tour, just the 3 of us and our tour guide. So once again, like the private tours are where it's at. And we had a great time.
And that's 127 total for the three of us, not each. So a steal of a deal to see Kuala Lumpur.
Malaysia was really cheap. Like we went to the gas station. He stopped at the gas station. We got some treats and we were like, oh my gosh, this cost us $4 US. And we got like a bunch of waters. We've got like 5 candy bars and ice creams. And it was just, yeah, that's the nice thing about Asia. Singapore's a little more expensive, still cheaper than, you know, our dollar goes a little further there. But once you get to Asia, it is just so affordable for us. So that was really cool.
So this trip just goes to show how one airline promotion can turn into an amazing adventure thanks to points and miles. Are you ready to get started so you can turn your bucket list dream trip into a reality? Register for our free webinar, How to Get Your Next Vacation for Nearly Free. We'll include a link to register in the show notes.
Thanks so much for listening to Points Talk with the Travel Mom Squad. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button from wherever you're listening so you never miss an episode. Want to start jet setting even faster? Follow the links in the show notes to learn about everything we discussed in today's episode. And to stay connected and follow along, follow us on Instagram at Travel Mom Squad. We can't wait to see where in the world Points and Miles take you.